Hey everybody, welcome back to the Joe Zabot podcast. Today's guest is going to be Mr. Marco De La Garza. Marco De La Garza, we're going to be talking some wrestling. Him and I are going to geek out on wrestling, so a lot of information wrestling-wise. Why? Today's Survivor Series Day, and we're going to go ahead and discuss anything and everything, so stay tuned. Here we go. Marco, welcome. How's it going? How are you?
Hello, man. How you doing?
Man, it's been a minute, but yeah, I'm doing all right. Thank you for taking a moment to talk wrestling with us, man. How you been?
Yeah, no problem. No problem. I'm busy, you know, surviving the pandemic. It's been one of those years, crazy years, and we're just taking it as we go. You know how it is. So
yeah. Pandemic, yeah. Man. It's really affected everybody in the way they do business, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, from work to school, everything's just been, it's just been crazy. So
even the way wrestling matches are done, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I miss going to wrestling shows. Like I love traveling to go see shows when I can, even local indie shows. I just saw recently they had some shows here in McAllen this past weekend, so I didn't get to go, but it's cool that it's slowly coming back. Yeah. And so hopefully by this time next year or sooner, you know, start going to shows again, like normal, you know, seeing crowds, you know, and it's kind of cool seeing, you know, AEW's doing their thing with crowds. And then I did like the whole Thunderdome kind of thing, what WWE's doing, you know, more bringing more fans into it again, because man, watching wrestling without fans in the crowd or anything like that, it was just,
it's weird,
you know. And it's sad in a way, but it's slowly coming around, you know. And now with Survivor Series, you know, today, you know, we're recording today, Survivor Series Day, so it's exciting, you know. So it's a good thing.
The crowd is definitely the X factor when it comes to the unpredictability of wrestling, especially most specifically with WWE. There was a time when WWE, their slogan was it's unpredictable, or anything can happen.
Yes.
And sure enough, man, I remember being at Houston for WrestleMania X7, and one of the items that I had in my mind is, well, let me jump the barricade and let me run towards the ring. In my mind, I said, you know what, let's do it, but didn't happen.
I wouldn't do so. Get arrested. I don't know how people do that, you know. I went to a Raw one time in Corpus, and there was a guy jumped in the ring, you know, and it was like, what are you doing? You know, I don't understand the fence mentality of jumping into the ring and you know, trying to get there 15 minutes, I guess, but no, it's not worth getting arrested for.
And not only that, but like when it's live, that factor is there.
Yeah.
But with television, there's so much editing that goes on, or delays that are in place. So even if you did it, it never happens.
Yeah. Or they'll just cut out to something else. So yeah.
Yeah. What attracted you to wrestling as a child, man?
My dad. My dad to this day watches wrestling, everything that's on. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest, I don't, you know, it's very rare I watch Impact, you know, but I'll watch it, you know, but he'll order the pay-per-view, you know. But he'll watch everything and anything that's on. So it was my dad growing up. He used to take me to shows, you know, took me to Raw. He took me to a Survivor Series in San Antonio that year, where Bret Hart, you know, lost against Bob Backlund, where his mom threw the towel in the ring. And so that was one of my first Survivor Series, which was pretty awesome. But it was my dad, you know, growing up watching it. And I just continued to watch it as I went, you know, got older. I kind of backed away after high school, you know, I got went to college, just doing other things. But then I slowly got back into it again. It's just one of those things that's always just pulls at your heartstrings, and you just, once you're a fan, you're always a fan, you know.
You're always a fan. Yeah.
Like, and especially, you know, and like, I know people that, you know, they grew up watching it, you know, and they're not fans anymore, but when you talk about wrestling with them, they, I see their excitement in their face. You know, they don't want to admit it. You know, like, yeah, I was a fan, you know, during the Attitude Era or the WCW Monday Night Wars days, you know, like there was something, they're still a fan deep down inside. So
you're talking like to us. One of those. Yeah. You're talking, yeah. You're talking to one like that, that you're just, that you just described.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, so yeah. So it's, starts with family, you know, and yeah. And you know, I've had other family watch it too, and it's good having friends that watch it and having that camaraderie, and it's just some good stuff, man, and it's entertainment, it's fun, you know, it's just a fun show.
Yeah.
So
yeah, no, I completely agree with you 100% with its entertainment part, and mm-hmm. and I also agree with you with those that watched it before and don't watch it religiously anymore. However, yeah. when we talk about it the way we're going to talk about it, I mean, yeah. it's that little twinkle in your eye. You're like, man, I remember those days.
Yeah. Like my cousin, and I were big Bret, you know, hit, you know, Bret Hart fans.
Right.
Especially him. He was like, I would say he was probably a little not obsessed, but really into him.
Yeah.
And, now he's older. He doesn't really watch, but you know, you bring it up, you know, you see it, you know? So it's something that it's just there with you.
So Bret Hart was one of your favorite wrestlers growing up?
He was.
Or the favorite.
He's one of them. But I was obviously, I was a Hogan fan, you know.
Yeah.
Hogan was, you know, when you're a kid, Hogan's like the guy for you, you know.
Yeah.
And he was a lot for a lot of people, you know. He was just some, you know, if he's the type of guy, if you know nothing about wrestling, but you know Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
You know, like he's one of those. His, you know, he's very charismatic and he's very mainstream. He brought, so it was Hogan for me. And then as I got older, you know, Bret became my guy. I was a big WWF, WWE guy during the Monday Night Wars, but I still watched WCW, you know.
Right.
But you know, my fandom for Hogan obviously went away because he became a heel and, you know, / bad guy. And so Bret Hart was my guy for me, you know. I just enjoyed the way he worked, his outfit, you know, his wrestling gear, and just the way he presented himself, you know. And so Bret Hart was my guy. And so when I remember that Survivor Series I went to in San Antonio, when he lost to Bob Backlund, like as a kid, you know, to you, it's like, it just broke my heart. So I still remember that. You know, because you don't expect seeing your you know him to lose when you're
right,
and it was my first time seeing him live, and then yeah, so I'll never forget that surprise, but it was I still have the program to this day, but yeah, he was one of my top guys.
So did Bob Backlund put Bret Hart in the chicken wing? What happened in that one?
I remember he put him in the chicken wing for like, I felt it was like an eternity. It was probably like 10 minutes maybe. But I remember like he was in the chicken wing forever. And then like Owen Hart, you know, got his mom. His mom was there watching the match and pulled him into the side of the ring. And it was one of those like they got to throw a towel in.
Uh-huh.
Kind of thing, and the mom threw
Old Dominion puts the together towel. A winning performance with precision, a number one ranking in claims prevention.
I'm pulling up the YouTube video and there's ads. I don't have that YouTube premium.
Oh, don't worry.
But you know, I want to remember. So you said that he put him in a chicken wing for eternity.
Yeah. Well, it felt like an eternity, but yeah, It was something.
Yeah, let me see here. Here we go. Here we go.
Du champion. Tous deux se relèvent péniblement et c'est Backlund qui passe à l'arrière, soulève Bret Hart et lui porte le souplex arrière. Ça fait très mal, ça coupe identifique, on peut être tant de plus paquet. Allez, vas-y. Deux, trois.
Aïe, 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 aïe. Okay, I must be watching the wrong one because in this one, Bret Hart wins.
Oh, yeah.
In a small cradle. But needless to say, Bob Backlund was just a weird guy for me, man. Like, all of a sudden he got introduced to WWF fans, and we didn't know. I mean, as a kid, I never followed Bob Backlund.
Yeah, same here. Like, he was really big in his time, you know. And then he had a comeback, you know, and WWF, I guess they pushed him really hard, you know, where he won the title.
Right.
Oh, and then eventually he lost it again to Diesel. I remember that Madison Square Garden match where he lost it in a few seconds.
Yeah.
So he was interesting. He was an interesting character.
He was a very interesting, very introverted type of guy too, man. I mean, he didn't have a gimmick. He didn't have a way of like coming across or appealing to fans, other than he was just a collegiate wrestler, if I recall.
Yeah.
So Bret Hart was your guy, man. Interesting you say that because your following of wrestling is very similar to mine because Hulk Hogan was also my guy as a kid.
Yeah.
And then as he left the business to go to WCW, we got introduced and the push was for Bret Hart. And Bret Hart, I recall that one promo that they cut where like the kid is walking and he's like, Bret! And he turns around. And, you know, the thing was, I still have them too. It's one of those things where like he appealed to the masses and to the kids. And that was our new hero.
Yeah.
So the conflict between good versus evil definitely appealed to the masses in wrestling, right?
At that time. Yes, for sure. For sure. The whole NWO, when NWO came out, I think that's when the line started to getting, you know, crossed, you know, where it was cool to cheer the bad guy.
Yeah.
You know. And I think from what I've heard Bret say, like, he wasn't too fond of that, you know. And, you know, I think fans just wanted a change, you know, at that time. So, and you got to give what the fans want, you know. Or you'll hear from them, you know.
It's funny you say that because I hardly follow wrestling now. However, my brother, he became like the biggest wrestling fan there is.
Sure.
And when I loved wrestling, he didn't like wrestling. So now that he loves wrestling, I don't like wrestling.
And how old are you? What's the
difference of age? Is I'm 37. He's 33.
Okay.
So. And you know what I see now is that, like you said, there's this universe of wrestling fans that will tell you what to do.
Sure. Yeah, they control the narrative on.
How do you feel about that?
They can, how do I explain it? It's, fans are going to cheer who they want to cheer for at the end of the day, you know, and whoever gets over and whatnot. Can you just redefine the question again?
Yeah. Like, how do you feel about the fans controlling the narrative? The universe.
Yeah.
Because before we had writers.
And sometimes, you know, and there's always been like right now or recently, there's this argument, you know, WWE doesn't give fans what they want, you know, and that's why it's pushing people away to go watch other shows like AEW and blah, 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 you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I have mixed feelings about that, you know? Yes, I do want, you know, to see my guy win all the time,
mm-hmm.
you know? But at the end of the day, that's not how it works, you know? Like, you can't just have a good guy winning all the time, you know, or having your person all the time. So I do have mixed feelings about that, where they control the narrative and if their guy doesn't get, you know, their push, you know, as they say, then we're not watching anymore. That's mm-hmm. not wrestling, you know, like I said, or like when I saw Bret Hart lose at Survivor Series, I didn't say I'm never watching wrestling again. You know, I didn't feel that way. You know, you just eventually it's a buildup. It's a story, you know,
mm-hmm.
eventually. Yeah. You hope your guy wins at the end of the day. But you know, but to feel like you've been cheated, you know, you watched WrestleMania and your person lost where he should have won. You know, I went to WrestleMania in Dallas, the one with 100,000 people over there at Cowboy Stadium or AT&T okay. Stadium. And right. to be honest, that WrestleMania was terrible. You know, it was cool watching Shane and Taker and the hell is, and it was cool just being at WrestleMania period, you know, mm-hmm. how it is.
Right.
But the people that, you know, I wanted to win didn't win, or you thought should have won, didn't, but it didn't push me away. I just thought, man, that's bad booking. You know, like it's right. just the other day. So I guess I have mixed feelings, I guess, towards it.
Well, you know, and what we're talking about, when we're talking about like bad booking, or we're talking about like the way it is now compared to what it was before. I mean, there was always this mystique about wrestling. Like,
sure.
like you didn't know who was going to win because you thought it was real. Right.
Of course.
And now you hit on a point where you said, well, that's not reality. The good guy isn't always going to win.
Yeah.
But do we really want to make it aligned to reality? Or do we want to keep that mystique going? Because there's always, what is that? There's a term that they use in wrestling. I forget what it is. But you don't talk about who's going to win or did you take a fall. You know, it's the unknown rule. It's the unwritten rule that you don't yeah. talk about those things. But yet now people are saying, well, you tell me the truth. You know, are they athletes? Yes, because there's a lot of things that these wrestlers do that I can't do, that you can't yeah. do, right? Like no. things, yeah. training. So that's a respectable thing. However, it's scripted, that we know, but nonetheless, I feel that push of bringing it to reality, controlling the narrative by the fans it's pushed so many people away. Additionally, the PG of it all.
Yeah.
What do you think?
It's too cookie cutter, I guess, as you know, as for shows being predictable, yeah, sometimes it's obvious, you know, like you see a match on TV and you already know, okay, I already know who's going to win. Right.
Right. Right.
But I think what brings wrestling fans back is those unexpected moments, you know, like that Survivor Series a few years ago with Brock Lesnar and Goldberg.
Mm-hmm.
Where Goldberg beat Brock Lesnar like in 30 seconds, you know, it's like those moments is what makes wrestling great, you know. And we're getting to a point where I think wrestling is just, yeah, it's predictable. You know, watching 3 hours of Monday Night Raw is hard to do. Mm-hmm. To be honest, I don't watch it on Mondays. I watch it as, you know, if I'm working from home, I'll have, you know, Monday Night Raw on, you know, in the background, you know.
Right.
I'm not really watching it because I already know what's happening, you know, and maybe I'll watch a segment here and there, but so yeah, I think we're at this point where, yeah, it's already predictable, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Fans have caught on, you know? And, but we're fans, you know, just like we know movies are scripted, you know, we know it's predetermined, you know?
Yeah.
But we always like that slight twist at the end, you know, if it's a horror movie or whatever.
Let me ask you this other question, man. So given the whole push towards reality, do you feel, I mean, boxing was already in existence back in our days when Hulk Hogan was happening, right? And there was this one part where Vince Russo decided to script in some tough man competition, right? Where Butterbean was in there and Billy and Bart Gunn was in there or something like that. And that was the first and only time it happened. But
to be honest, when they were doing that, I wasn't watching it. Like, I wasn't watching that segment. I would change it to Monday Nitro, you know?
Right.
Because
it wasn't wrestling.
It wasn't wrestling. Exactly. You know? So I switched it. So, yes, we do want reality. We do want, you know, stuff that might be like, ooh, is that really scripted or did he really say that? You know?
Right.
We want those blurred lines, you know, but that whole, like that whole, what was that? The boxing, whatever, like you mentioned, like that stuff just turned me off.
Right. So the question that I was going towards was, do you feel like items such as UFC has kind of led people to want it to be more real?
Well, I'm not a UFC guy, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I'll watch, you know, whoever, you know, if it's Conor McGregor or back then Ronda Rousey, or like, you know, like the big stars, whatever. But if it's, I think the fan bases between UFC and WWE are separate, but there is that mix, obviously, mm-hmm. you know, like I have buddies that watch both and they're like into both.
Right.
You know, but there's guys like me, where I'm a more of a wrestling guy.
Right.
When I do see like UFC or Bellator, like there's a lot of wrestling elements, you know, and I think UFC is trying to take that from WWE, you know,
mm-hmm.
or wrestling, professional wrestling, because it's engaging, it's entertainment, you know. It just depends on the person, yeah. I guess.
I saw it more recently. Most recently, there was this promotion called Combate Americas, and mm-hmm. they were bringing Albert Del Rio to fight Tito Ortiz.
I went to that show,
and
you know,
well, I was at the conference, and the way they scripted that, like you mentioned, it's so sports entertaining, so wrestling.
The hype towards it.
Correct.
You gotta have those elements, you know. Like, yes, you can put two people in a cage and fight, and yeah, it may be entertaining. But if there's no hype between, you know, like it's like wrestlers, you know, you can put two wrestlers in a ring, but if you know nothing about them, you're not engaged. Well, you know.
And then to add to that, there's the TMZ factor. So Alberto Del Rio, you know, like he's a human being just like you and I.
Yeah,
but most recently he was in the news as well for beating up some.
That's what I saw too. Like,
so that also, you know, it brings that different element of, wait a minute, he was our champion. He was a Mexican champion for. Is this really who we want our kids to watch? You know, like there's just people want to bring that element into it, right?
Yeah,
but. You know, wrestling is wrestling. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's take it back to the old days where we didn't go into their personal lives. We just waited until they came into the ring, I think. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. I love when they just keep it storyline,
right.
You know, and outside their life. You know, Like, there's no need to bring personal, you know. But sometimes it's great that they bring real life situations into it, you know. But it's not, how do I put this? It's not something I watch for, you know.
Yeah.
Like Del Rio, like if he came back to WWE, I don't want, you know, the writers to put that, oh, he's been arrested or he's been, you know,
right,
where he broke up with so and so, you know, like I don't need to know that stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just make him engaging, make him entertaining, and then we'll go through it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like Del Rio a few years back, I remember when he was in WWE, he was doing that whole when Mexican American thing where he was, what was his name? But his storyline was just not engaging, you know?
Right, right.
So, no, I don't think bringing real life situations into the wrestling world is
beneficial to the sports. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess it goes, it all goes back to the story writing. Like, for example, Randy Macho Man Savage, Miss Elizabeth, a match made in heaven and a match made in hell. SummerSlam, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I saw that, I mean, I was just like, OMG, like that, wow, they're getting married. Like, that's so cool. You know what I mean? Like, is this for real? You know what? It is real. Yeah, but it made you question, like, wow, they're bringing real life into the, that's pretty,
yeah, that's cool. Cool. And it's nice when they do that every now and then.
Correct.
You know, and so, but yeah, I agree. Like it's nice when, like I said, when Paul Heyman is, you know, doing a promo about Vince McMahon, you know, and you're like, did he really say that about Vince McMahon? And did, you know, and then
right,
a few years later, I see Paul Heyman, you know, doing a Q&A and he's talking about that promo saying, you know, Vince was like, okay with it. Just do what you got to do, you know, make money with it, you know? So you're like, oh, but at that time you thought, man, that is he really talking bad about Vince McMahon that way?
Yeah.
Is he really shooting on him? So it's at the time. Yeah. You know, but it's just a,
so back in my days, I mean, back in our days, there was this magazine called Pro Wrestling Illustrated. Did you ever read that?
I saw it every now and then. Mm-hmm. But I was a WWF magazine subscriber, so I would get those magazines monthly, and I still have some of those, you know. And I still, you know, they're somewhere
in the attic.
In the attic. but yeah, it, you know, and that's where like I ordered like my WWF merch and my sunglasses and all that stuff is through those magazines. So yeah, I've been a fan.
You were the cool kid that had the Macho Man glasses, or right?
Yeah, I would say so. Well, I don't know how cool I was then, but you thought I was.
I was that same kid, man. And I remember being in middle school and 95, 96, and, mm-hmm. you know, having the Macho Man glasses and talking to my teacher. And my teacher's like, hey, are you going to record the pay-per-view? You know, back in the days when you used to record on a VCR.
Yeah.
So then I would record the pay-per-view and, oh my gosh, and lend it to my teacher, and my teacher I would never get it back.
But back then it was cool to be a wrestling fan, you know. Yeah. like it was, everybody was on board watching it, you know. Monday nights, you know, Stone Cold, you know, The Rock, you know, NWO, like it was fun to be a wrestling fan, and there was no shame in it.
Speaking of, yeah, you know what? I don't have any shame in it. I mean, I'll be the first to tell you, I was a big wrestling fan to this day. I was in Florida. I made it a point to go to the Hogan's Beach Shop.
That's cool. Like, yeah.
Go to the Hogan's Beach Shop. Thing. Yeah. And buy merchandise and, you know, to this day, I mean, I don't know if you followed my most recent campaign, but I my logo was NWO-esque.
Yeah. I was like, man, that's cool. You know?
Yeah, I purposely did that because there's a science to all of this. In other words, people were asking me, like, why black and white? Because there's a science to the color. Like, it ingrains in your mind.
That, your childhood.
Yeah. Well, not your childhood. What I'm getting at, the science. I wanted the brand Josabad to stay in people's name, in people's eyes and mind. So yeah. I did that. So you would see me walking around with the shirts, and I was like, and people would remember it and connect it. Oh, that looks like NWO. Okay, cool. You know, it's cool. I wanted something that people could wear. That they could wear 10 years from now, 20 years from now, and still.
I still wear NWO shirts because it's still, you know, like, you know, it's one of those iconic logos, you know, that people are gonna recognize. So yeah, I still have my NWO shirts. Well, I recently just bought NWO shirts, but but you know, it's because it's your childhood. It's what you know, you know.
Right.
So I did see your logo and I thought, man, I thought that was kind of neat. So good job.
Thank you. Survivor Series. So that's today. What's your? I know you talked about Bret Hart versus Bob Backlund. You went to that show in Survivor Series, but is that your favorite Survivor Series moment, or what is?
I went to the Survivor Series in Houston in 2017. And that was a good show. Mm-hmm. But when I'm thinking about moments, it still goes back to that show in San Antonio. You know, there are just some moments you just have in your head that you remember.
Mm-hmm.
And that show in Houston was cool. And to be honest, I don't even remember the main event for that WrestleMania. Can we Google that?
Who are we Googling?
The 2017 Survivor Series. Let's see
here. And that one right there.
There it is.
The main event, Team Raw versus Team SmackDown.
Yeah.
And Kurt Angle, Braun Strowman, Finn Balor, Samoa Joe, and Triple H versus Shane McMahon, Randy Orton, Bobby Roode, Shinsuke Nakamura, and John Cena.
The only, like, I like Survivor Series, but I think what kind of, like, I remember Survivor Series back in the day, it was like teams. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, you had four matches of five against five.
Correct.
Now it's just, like, one female Survivor Series, one male, you know, Raw versus SmackDown. Yeah. But I guess there's no incentive to win, you know, like if a team wins, what then, you know? So I guess that's kind of something that's always like been wondering, like if they win okay, great. You know, they get bragging rights, but at the end of the day, they just move on to the next pay-per-view, you know?
Right.
And so the main event, I guess, in 17 was Brock versus AJ. And yeah, right there, that's another one. You know Brock's going to win. At the end of the day, you know?
I think you hit a huge point. There's no incentive to win. And in my opinion, what ended up happening is that remember the part where it was minimal pay-per-views throughout the year?
Like four a year. Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, every month you had a pay-per-view. So what's the incentive? I mean, it's too much content, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, luckily the network's $10 a month and you can see pay-per-views every month, you know, where AEW now is doing the pay-per-view every 4 months kind of deal, like the old school way, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, I'll get the AEW pay-per-view because I'm not, you only get it once every 4 months, you know. So it is a lot of content. It's a lot of wrestling. Every week is a lot of wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
that Monday night, you know, Tuesday Impact, you know, Wednesday NXT, AEW. Thursday, get a little break, I guess, and then Friday, SmackDown.
Right.
That's a lot.
It really is.
And, but it's a good thing, too, because fans want to watch wrestling, you know?
Well, yeah, but, you know, like, back in the day, like, WrestleMania was, you looked forward to it all year.
Of course.
And that was, like, the biggest thing. I mean, I still remember, I that was an event at my household. You know, it didn't matter what happened. You know, we're gonna
who was on, yeah.
We're gonna watch WrestleMania, and it's gonna be the best thing. And we're gonna invite our friends. We're gonna barbecue, and we're gonna have a good time. And we're gonna put up, you know, and then we're gonna put up a projector. We're gonna have a screen.
We did that a couple years ago, yeah, with my buddies and I. So it was great. The only issue was the show was like 8 or 9 hours long.
Yeah,
that was like, oh my gosh! Like it started like at 4, ended at midnight. You know, you're like, something's got to give, you know.
Yeah,
and I liked the timing of this WrestleMania where it was like 4 hours. It's perfect. You know, it sucked because there wasn't fans or anything like that, but the timing, the matches, you know, it's, to me, it's all about quality than quantity, you right. know.
Right.
And growing up, you knew pay-per-views were 3 hours and that was it.
Correct.
Now you're like, there are four. You're just like, oof, you know.
Yeah.
And WWE has cut down the pay-per-views some. They're actually like at 2.5, 3 hours now. Maybe because there's no fans or the pandemic or whatnot. But I like that because the shows end at 9:30. You know, you can actually
get ready
for bed. Yeah. You know.
But that was like our go-to, man. Like there's people that have Monday Night Football and football is their thing, and there's people that have baseball and baseball's their thing. But like, I mean, for us wrestling fans, we had Monday night and Monday night was our thing. And yes. And we had Sunday night on pay-per-views when it happened.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah. I mean, are they just failing to create characters and good storylines? I mean, is that the main issue now?
I guess it is, you know, like, I don't think, and I heard this, I think Bully Ray said it, I heard this on Busted Open, there's going to be like, and I agree with him, there's not going to be another like Rock or Stone Cold or Hogan, you know, like, there isn't one now. You know, like, mm-hmm. When I see the shows, like, I'm not like, oh, you know, like turning my head to watch the TV and be like, oh man, I gotta watch him.
Right.
I'm okay with maybe if a Brock Lesnar will come out, yeah, sure, because he's a, you know, he's a beast. But even then, he's kind of, well, he's still a beast. I'm not gonna say anything bad about Brock Lesnar, but I don't see an iconic star right now. You know, in my opinion.
Do you think social media has played a role in the diminishment of wrestling?
To a degree, yes. A lot of people like to give their opinion, their voices, which is good. You know. But a lot of people are just negative, you know.
Yeah,
can't take the show for what it's worth, you know. They don't get their, they don't see, you know, their person get the push. Like I said earlier, mm-hmm. they're just negatives, you know. They're just negative people, and that's a turnoff, you know. But when it's really good and it's really engaging, and it's wrestling can be awesome. You know.
Yeah, man. I miss those Hell in a Cell matches, the cage matches. I really would like to see that blue steel cage come back.
God, I loved it. I loved it. I have my friends make fun of me, but I have the ring with the blue cage. You know, I saw it at a store the other day, at like one of those vintage toy stores.
Right.
I had to buy it. I saw it. I was like, I'm taking it. I fixed it up. I put new ropes. Like, I was like, so yes, I'm 38 year old man. That's, you know, that's collecting wrestling rings, but you know, it's who you are, you know, it's your childhood, you know?
But there shouldn't be any shame in that, man. I mean, I see you and you're like, I'm a 38 year old man. There shouldn't be any shame in that because it's like you said, it's who you are, man. And at the end of the day, like it's something that really you got attached to and you enjoy it. That's your football. That's your boxing. That's your UFC. You know what I'm saying? Like wrestling is your thing. Needless to say, man, so I don't care who you are, the figure four leg lock, it's real.
It hurts.
The sharpshooter is real.
The Boston Crab, it's real. I've always wondered, like with the figure four, you know how they reverse it?
Mm-hmm.
How it hurts the other person that was giving it. I always wondered how does that work? But that's just a side thought. But
yeah, it works. That was my move, man. My brother and I, we used to wrestle growing up. And like I said, I must have been like 16 years old and he was like 12. So I would put him in the sharpshooter or the figure four. And there was this one time in particular where I had him in the Walls of Jericho.
Yeah.
And this guy all of a sudden reversed it on me and I fell to the floor, man.
That's real. Like I still don't, like I look at it and I still don't understand how it hurts once you reverse it.
Well, here I am in the Walls of Jericho, right? So just picture that in your mind. What he did is he used all his force, his lower body force to pretty much escape from it. And I fell forward and my tooth right here.
Oh man.
Dug into the bottom of my lip. So here I am bleeding profusely. I ended up in the hospital that day and got stitches, you know, but it's real, man. I mean,
it's real. I get you.
Yeah. but like going back to what we were talking about, man, like, man, wrestling has so many deep memories for me personally. I'm sure. And with you and when I met up with you earlier, I was like, let's talk wrestling. You're like, yes, let's do it. Right.
I always like wrestling. Like I enjoy talking about, my buddies and I, we've thought about doing a podcast about wrestling. You know, there's tons of wrestling podcasts, yes, but just talking about it yourself, you know, it's something that we've always wanted to do. We just never got around to it, you know, family obligations or whatnot. But so it's cool, you know. I like talking about it, and so
You can tell your buddies you started today.
Yeah.
Podcast.
Yeah. It's my first podcast. So.
Well, I needed somewhere to like, to pretty much have my creative side show. Sure. In my personal job, like, you know, they see me as the administrator, but again, they don't know the person that I am.
Sure.
And, you know, one of the comments that I've been hearing is, well, you have a fun side to you. Well, like, yeah, I mean, like, I'm a human being. I'm a human being too.
Yeah, we're humans. Yeah.
But nonetheless, man, I mean, we have our likes, we have our dislikes, and so forth. And you know, wrestling was just one of the big things for me. You know, and going back to the Monday Night Wars, I mean, you hit the point about like there will never be another Rock, there will never be another Stone Cold. Yeah, that's true. But if you recall back in those days when those guys were coming up, like the development of other individuals was being impacted because, you know, it was in the process of being created. I mean, when the Rock was coming up, you had Mick Foley on the other side as well. And people knew him as Cactus Jack, but he was being developed to be, well, Mankind didn't work out well, you know, Dude Love didn't work out well, you know, which one's going to work out? Well, let's just do Mick Foley, you know, stuff like that. And then on the flip side, you had individuals such as Chris Jericho coming up as well and being developed.
Yeah.
You know, so I see that now, and there's like a farm of wrestlers that can be developed, but it's not being done in a way that is productive. And maybe because there's just too much content out there. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a lot, you know, and I don't know if, you know, writers are just, you know, just not wanting to push certain individuals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember during the Monday Night Wars, you were competing. They were both competing. So you had to develop characters. You had to develop, you know, storylines that were engaging and entertaining and, you know.
Right.
And that's why it was so huge at the time. And then as soon as WCW got bought out, you know, it kind of just, where was the competition there, you know?
Right.
I'm not saying they went lazy, but, you know, to a point, you know, it just wasn't the same. You know, after, you know, and so when WWE has to rely on the old school names, you know, like The Undertaker to come back to do a match or stuff like that, it shouldn't be that way. You know, Undertaker probably should have retired maybe 5 years ago, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm, and, but I'm glad he's been around all these years, you know, don't get me wrong, but like, you shouldn't have to bring old talent just to, when you have so much talent already as it is, you know, at your disposal. So it's just, it's a lot. Yeah, I agree.
And part of that probably is just a monopoly in the WWE. I mean, you and I know that they monopolized the whole industry.
Sure. Okay.
So then the competition was no longer out there. You know, when you go back to the times of territories, I mean, it was cool to be a world-class fan. It was cool to be a USWA.
Yeah.
And you had your wrestlers that you rooted for.
Yeah.
But in the midst of it all, obviously the ultimate prize was to go WWE, go to Connecticut, Stamford, Connecticut, and, you know, hopefully be in that venue.
Yeah, sure.
But
yeah,
that
was always the goal, or yeah.
So where are we at now? You know, which wrestler should I be looking out for right now?
Oh man. Well, do you want to talk about NXT guys, or do you want to talk about just like guys that are on the roster right now, the main roster?
I'm lost. I'm completely lost because I haven't watched in a while.
Okay. Well, I love that they're doing with Roman right now. They made him a heel bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I love that he's bringing that edginess right now to WWE. So that's great, and I love that the way they position Drew McIntyre, you know, to from where he came from to where he is now, you mm-hmm. know, being this badass, you know, like now he's the champ, you know, kind of thing. So that's awesome, you know. I think that's great. And then when it comes to, you know, NXT, Adam Cole, that guy's amazing, you know. And then, but what I'm noticing, and he's really good, and he's just starting. Pat McAfee, do you know him?
No.
He was the kicker for the Colts of years back. He retired. He has his own podcast now, his own Sirius XM show now. And they brought him into, but he's a big wrestling fan. And that guy, he can talk, you know, and he's getting guys over in NXT, and, you know, that guy has it, you know, and he even had a match with Adam Cole just recently, and he did really well, like for his first match.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know, so there's hope, you know, and it's some good stuff coming around. And like you said, there's a lot of talent, you know.
But let's be real. If you can't cut a promo, you're not gonna make it.
Oh, for sure.
You got to be relevant. You got to be entertaining. You got to be able to hold the audience's attention. So the promo is a huge part of a wrestler's dynamic.
Yeah, you got to be charismatic. Unless unless you're just like a the exception of the rule, like a Brock Lesnar, where you could just stand there and have Paul Heyman speak for you, you know?
Or a Bob Backlund.
Or Bob Backlund. Bob Backlund was a screamer. I remember.
Oh, man. That guy was weird, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Hey, let's cut it down towards the end, and let's bring it to this. Favorite WrestleMania moment?
Ooh. Favorite WrestleMania moment. Man.
There's so many, right?
There's so many.
All right. Favorite female wrestler?
Right now or of?
Of all time.
Of all time. Female wrestler. I'm going to say, I'm going to say Paige.
All right.
I don't know why I saw her, when I went to WrestleMania, I was in line for like 2 hours just to get her and take a picture with her.
Paige. All right. Favorite valet.
Manager kind of thing?
Yeah.
I'm going to say Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Okay.
That guy was funny.
Well, there's a difference between valet and manager. Valet is a female.
Oh, okay. Female Miss Elizabeth. Easy.
Okay.
She didn't have to say a word. And she was a star. But then again you have like Sunny, where she was a great talker. You know, and she was good at what she did. Sunny was, what is he that? I don't know what she's up to nowadays, but
you don't know.
We'll
just strike that one out right there.
Yeah,
we'll just strike that one out.
Yeah.
Favorite tag team?
The Hart Foundation.
All right. All right, and favorite finishing move?
The sharpshooter.
All right, man. Hey, easy. Guys, it's been a great hour talking to my guy over here, Marco De La Garza. Wrestling Hour, today's Survivor Series. I probably won't catch it. I'm not gonna lie to you, but it was definitely fun talking, going down memory lane with you.
Oh, for sure. And if you ever want to talk wrestling, just hit me up.
I mean, just depending on our views, we might have to do a second show, man.
Yeah, we'll see. Don't put that pressure on me.
Hey, do you remember those Titan figurines, man? The Titan Giants. They were like this big, all rubber, all.
Yeah, I had those.
Do you still have them?
I have one. I have George the Animal Steel.
Okay.
That one. I remember having the Macho Man. But yeah, I had some of those.
It blew my mind. I remember there was just one WrestleMania where they had the complete set of them, right? Hmm. And at that time, I believe they were saying, if you have this whole complete set, you know, it's going for like over $1 million. And I was just thinking to myself, man, I should have kept them all in their package.
No, it's like $1 billion. But yeah, I don't think mine's in good shape. I won. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, all right, Marco, thank you for joining us. That's all the time we got for today's podcast. And once again, catch us, like, share, like, and subscribe for more content here at the Joe's Vod Podcast. Thank you so much, Marco. I appreciate it. Let me go ahead and roll us out here. Here we go. So thank you, man. Appreciate you.
All right, take care, guys. All right. Safe. Wear a mask.
Bye. All right, man.